tireless, look far sped north, an arrow over the sea. He looked down at Arryn. The boy's sleeping face was lit red gold by the long sunset. The rough hair was wind-stirred. The soft, easy, princely look of the boy who had sat by the fountain of the great house a few months since was gone. This was a thinner face, harder and much stronger. But it was not less beautiful. "I have found none to follow in my way," Ged the Archmage said aloud to the sleeping boy, "or to the empty wind. None but thee, and thou must go thy way, not mine. Yet will thy kingship be in part my own, for I knew thee first. I knew thee first. They will praise me more for that in after days than for anything I did of Maedhry. If there will be after days. For first we two must stand upon the balance point, the very fulcrum of the world. And if I fall, you fall, and all the rest. For a while. For a while. No darkness lasts forever. And even there are stars. Oh, but I should like to see thee crowned in Havnor, and the sunlight shining on the Tower of the Sword, and on the ring we brought for thee from Atuan, from the dark tombs, Tenar and I, before ever thou wast born. He laughed then. And turning to face the north, he said to himself in the common tongue, "A goat herd to set the heir of Morred on his throne. Will I never learn?" Presently, as he sat with the guide rope in his hand and watched the full sail strain reddened in the last light of the west, he spoke again softly. "Not in Havnor would I be, and not in Roke. It is time to be done with power, to drop the old toys and go on. It is time that I went home. I would see Tenar. I would see Ogion, and speak with him before he dies, in the house on the cliffs of Rhea Albi. I crave to walk on the mountain of Gaunt, in the forests. In the autumn when the leaves are bright. There is no kingdom like the forests. It is time I went there. Went in silence. Went alone. And maybe there I would learn at last what no act or art or power can teach me. What I have never learned." The whole west blazed up in a fury and glory of red, so that the sea was crimson and the sail above it bright as blood. And then the night came quietly on. All that night long the boy slept and the man waked, gazing forward steadily into the dark. There were no stars. Waking in the morning, Arryn saw before the boat, dim and low along the blue west, the shores of Celador. In the hall in Barilla were old maps that had been made in the days of the kings, when traders and explorers had sailed from the inner lands and the reaches had been better known. A great map of the north and west was laid in mosaic on two walls of the prince's throne room, with the Isle of Enlad in gold and gray above the throne. Arryn saw it in his mind's eye as he had seen it 1,000 times in boyhood. North of Enlad was Oskil, and west of it Eboskil, and south of that Semel and Palm. There the inner lands ended, and there was nothing but the pale blue-green mosaic of the empty sea, set here and there with a tiny dolphin or a whale. Then at last, after the corner where the north wall met the west wall, there was Narveduin, and beyond it, three lesser islands. And then the empty sea again, on and on, until the very edge of the wall and the end of the map, and there was Celador. And beyond it, nothing. He could recall it vividly, the curving shape of it, with a great bay in the heart of it, opening narrowly to the east. They had not come so far north as that, but were steering now for a deep cove in the southernmost cape of the island, and there, while the sun was still low in the haze of morning, they came to land. So ended their great run from the roads of Balatron to the western isle. The stillness of the earth was strange to them when they had beached Lukfar and walked after so long on solid ground. Ged climbed a low dune, grass-crowned, the crest of it leaning out over the steep slope, bound into cornices by the tough roots of the grass. When he reached the summit, he stood still, looking west and north. Aran stopped at the boat to put on his shoes, which he had not worn for many days, and he took his sword out of the gearbox and buckled it on, this time with no questions in his mind as to whether or not he should do so. Then he climbed up beside Ged to look at the land. The dunes ran inland, low and grassy, for half a mile or so, and then there were lagoons, thick with sedge and salt reeds, and beyond those low hills lay yellow-brown and empty to the end of sight. Beautiful and desolate was Celador. Nowhere on it was there any mark of man, his work or habitation. There were no beasts to be seen, and the reed-filled lakes bore no flocks of gulls or wild geese or any bird. They descended the inland side of the dune, and the slope of sand cut off the noise of the breakers and the sound of the wind, so that it became still. Between the outmost dune and the next was a dell of clean sand, sheltered, the morning sun shining warm on its western slope. Lebanon, the mage said, for he used Aran's true name now. I could not sleep last night, and now I must. Stay with me, and keep watch. He lay down in the sunlight, for the shade was cold, put his arm over his eyes, sighed,